I'm doing something about it. And I had to take an excursion. We had the greatest economy in history. We do. We still do. Oh, this will bounce right back. When it's over, and I don't think it's going to be long, when it's over, this is going to bounce right back so fast.
When are you going to know when it's over?
When I feel it.
Okay.
I feel it in my bones.
Will you ask anybody in particular?
I'm happy that we're opening up trade with Russia again, even though it's hurting the Ukrainians, because the need for us to lose against Iran is so bad that I'm happy because it's facilitating commerce for the Iranians, who are going to use the wealth to build more drones and shit, you know? We're in like a multipolar conflict that's now interconnected, where I'm rooting for Ukraine to take back its territory and rooting for Iran to kick our asses out. It's crazy. I can't believe this is the world we're in, but I think it's the morally consistent position to have. Oh my God. And Ukraine is sending support to Israel. It is literally both on a financial and actual map, a yin yang. We give the money to Israel, but we get the money from trade with Russia, and the trade with Russia opens up commerce between Russia and Iran uses the money to get the drones to strike Israel, and Ukraine gets the money from us, not really, but complicated, gets the money from Europe, and they're using it to fight Russia, but Russia's now getting the money from Iran and from the United States. It's insane. We've invented a gigantic civilizational tire fire to throw our fucking money in. Incredible. Yeah, welcome to the multipolar world. This is how people who paid attention to the news must have felt when China and America teamed up to back the Khmer Rouge in Cambodia while Vietnam fought to invade. This is how we must have felt. Critical support to China, the People's Republic of China, for defeating their imperialist predecessors, and also for building out a proletarian state, but also critical to China for breaking with the Soviet Union, but also we're in favor of not the Khmer Rouge, because they're really, really bad, but also we've heard reports that the stuff they're fighting is really bad, and we're in favor of Vietnam, but they're also oh my God. Wish Vosh would do more outreach and actual groundwork. Fine, I'll enlist. I'll go die for Israel. Is that what you want? Fine, I'll lead the amphibious assault on the Persian Gulf coastline of Iran, all right? Yes, that's what you want? You want me to do like a live stream? I've got the selfie stick behind me, and I've landed on the beach, and in front of me there's like an impassable 800-foot ridged mountainous terrain that I have to climb. I see like little flashes of rifle fire peeking through the... I die instantly. I die before I even make it to the beach. Well, Hassan's going to be in Cuba. What do you do? I wonder if that's going to go through. There's a possibility we end up doing stuff in Cuba that makes it impossible for Hassan to go there. Also, I don't want to go to Cuba because I don't want to argue with everyone in the way, okay? Groundwork, do your push-ups? Yeah. I'll get around to it. What the fuck is this?
Hi, Mr. Vice President. Bill Barrow with the Associated Press. What did you advised the president initially as he considered his actions in Iran, and what are you urging him to do now, especially with Americans seeing higher prices at the pump and some of the fallout from that across the economy? Do you express any concerns like those you've expressed in the past on the possibility of these extended wars?
Well, Bill, I appreciate the question. I know you guys have to ask it, but imagine the situation. We're in the Situation Room where you can't even take your, you know, iPod in there, or your AirPods.
What the fuck?
I guess what they're called. You can't take your iPhone in there. You can't take anything in there because it is the most classified space anywhere in the world. And I sit there with...
Then Trump walks out of it and immediately talks about what he saw to the press.
Hegseth and General Kane and Marco Rubio and the entire White House team. And the president and I and the entire senior team are talking about the options and about what we need to do and about how we must best protect the American people. I hate to disappoint you, but I'm not going to show up here and in front of God and everybody else tell you exactly what I said in that classified room, partially because I don't want to go to prison, and partially because I think it's important for the President of the United States to be able to talk to his advisors without those advisors running their mouth to the American media.
Yeah, it's not surprising that Vance would want to distance himself from the day-to-day operations of the war, because the war is and will only continue to get super unpopular. and Vance probably is like gonna be the main 2028 candidate. So yeah, it makes sense that he would not want to attach himself to that. Really, I mean, what alternatives are there? Marco Rubio, Hegseth is a non-starter, and so is Miller.
Yeah, right there, green jacket.
Mike Bress with the Washington Examiner. How many American casualties have there been, and where were the American service members when they were injured?
I mean, it's a bunch of return to duty. So we've had a whole
duty.
The large majority have gone in for some medical treatment and returned to duty. We've had in Kuwait, Jordan, down across the southern flank a little bit, a variety of places, most from one-way attack strikes.
But I want to clarify that. I think what we've
and
tried
Saudi
to do
Arabia.
Here
yeah,
somebody is clarify Arabia those too. Numbers yeah. rather than saying KIA or WIA, wounded. Be more clear about that because the overwhelming majority, almost 90%, thank God, are returned to duty, minor injuries returned to duty. And so that number can look a certain way, and our job is to add some fidelity to
it. Wow, this is really transparent. This crosstalk, he interrupts, he interjects because our boy over here knows he can't answer the question. I guarantee you they're lying about casualties. I guarantee you. He knows that he can't answer the question. He's under orders to not, like, they know, he knows, right? He understands what the deal is here. And then Hegseth pitches and doesn't answer the question, but he takes, like, the, like, they're pitching to Hegseth the job of, like, explicitly lying, you know? Yeah. I have no idea what our casualty numbers are. They're not exceptionally high. I would be surprised if we had more than 50 dead, but 50 dead is still four times as many as we lost while retreating from Afghanistan and 12 times as much as Benghazi, I think, right? Four Benghazi. So yeah, it's we are very sensitive to our own deaths and very insensitive to the deaths of people of different ethnicities. All right. Let's take a look at the CNN reporting that had Donald Trump so upsetty spaghetti.
So, not prepared for something that administrations have been talking about for decades?
Yeah, look, this is reporting from CNN's Zach Cohen, Phil Mattingly, Kevin Liptak, and Kylie Atwood. And it gets into just how problematic what is happening in the Strait of Hormuz, which, of course, is one of the...
Which, of course, we will be canceling immediately.
World's most important energy chokeholds in the country. It's responsible for 20% of the global crude oil that comes out of that very key waterway. And what they're learning, our colleagues, is that essentially that while key officials from the Department of Energy and the Department of Treasury were present for a lot of these briefings, what is typical in planning for something of this magnitude, an operation, military operation of this magnitude in the Middle East, they said that the agency analysis and forecast that would be integral elements of the decision-making process in past administrations were secondary considerations here. Now, I think one
incredible. Incredible. Remember, they admitted they weren't expecting Iran to close the Strait of Hormuz. I don't know what level of incompetence that's on. I'm not really capable of understanding what level you have to be operating on to not know that Iran was going to close the Strait of Hormuz. I don't know. It exceeds anything. I can't sympathize with it. We're now operating on intellectual, like it's like me trying to understand a cat's behavior at this point. Like, I don't know why it's looking at the corner of the room like that. I don't know what it saw, and I'm never going to know. It's just doing that. That's an insult to cats. It might actually be. I just don't know how to make a joke about it. It's astonishing. I'm sorry. I should have something ready.
One of the key things is what the administration is actually going to do about this, John. And what we've heard from top officials and what our colleagues are hearing from their sources involved in some of the planning on this is that it could be weeks before the Trump administration's efforts to really try and alleviate the impact of what is happening in the Strait can actually take effect. We have heard many officials kind of talk about the possibility of having the U.S. Navy go in and escort some of these oil tankers and ships through the Strait to make sure they're safer. But that is very high risk. And that is something that we've now heard as well from top officials like the Energy Secretary Chris Wright, noting that it can be very dangerous to do that. Meanwhile, we've heard from the president kind of trying to downplay some of the tumult we've seen with energy and what has been happening in the Strait. Now, I do want to reference what we heard from the Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent yesterday. He was speaking with Sky News, and he said that the escorts from the U.S. Navy will begin, quote, as soon as it is militarily possible. He said
it never will be.
That was their planning, and there's a chance that the U.S. Navy or perhaps an international coalition could ultimately escort these tankers through. We also heard, just speaking on this idea of preparedness and the lack thereof that our colleagues are reporting.
Holy shit, I'm sorry, I didn't realize this, but the rapid response unit that we're sending over to the Gulf with the potential to begin a ground invasion of Iran was also pulled from Taiwan. 2,200 Marines with the 31st Marine Expeditionary Unit, accompanied by the Tripoli Amphibious Ready Group, which consists of the USS Tripoli, USS San Diego, USS New Orleans, alongside roughly 20 F-35B Lightning IIs, have been ordered to deploy to the Middle East amid the ongoing conflict with Iran. They were positioned to respond to a Chinese invasion of Taiwan. Yeah, and we just pulled our THAADs out of the region. Jesus Christ. No, this is the Japanese garrison. Yeah, but the Japanese garrison is there for Taiwan. Like, we're not. Yeah. I mean, like, they were positioned to respond to potential aggression against Taiwan. China's going to get that shit for free, dude. China, if you're listening to Xi Jinping, I don't think you should, but if you're going to, this is your window. I have a rather naive question. Why is there no infrastructure in Saudi Arabia to pipeline the oil to the Red Sea? Excellent question. And there is. We'll talk about it right now. Good point. So, they do have an east-west pipeline that runs, I think, from around here, like south of Qatar, all the way across to the Red Sea. A couple of problems. For one, pipelines are vulnerable, you know? Just think about, we're talking like hundreds of miles. Think of what one drone could do, right? Like, yeah, just think about that. For two, it can only move, I think, about a couple million. It can move some percentage of the total amount of oil that Saudi Arabia exports every day. Keep in mind, it's not just Saudi oil that needs to be moved. It's the whole Persian Gulf. Kuwait, Bahrain, Qatar, all these countries are moving oil out of the Strait of Hormuz. So they would only be able to pipe a fraction of it across, I would love some coffee, baby, across the pipeline. Additionally, they don't have the infrastructure to receive all of that oil at this end. The logistics and the infrastructure necessary to get all that oil from here and then begin to move it out, it's like a good potential backup that compensates for a fraction of the total amount of oil that needs to be moved, but it cannot really, it can't handle the volume that needs to be handled. Does that make sense? Yeah, a 750-mile pipeline across the desert. That's crazy. 7 million barrels of oil per day can be moved through it. The pipeline's estimated handle around 1.5 million barrels per day. It's complicated, but that's the gist of it. The Houthis support this? Yes. Have you looked into Karg Island? U.S. is looking to invade it because it's where 95% of Iran's oil exports go? Yes. The problem with that is that an amphibious invasion of Karg Island would be insane. Like, so insane. For one, it would do nothing to open up the strait. It would do nothing. For two, you would be sending troops to invade what is essentially a bomb of an island. There is so much oil here. It would be like, it would just be on fire forever. It would fuck over Iran's movement of oil, but it would also not make anything any better in the region. And also, this might be another red line for Iran. Keep in mind, Iran has not even come close to exhausting their stockpile of Shahed drones, whereas the United States is down half of its THAAD radar systems, and we and our allies have lost a significant portion of our interceptors. How do you know? Based on estimates of their Shahed drone capacity before the war began, they've only sent out maybe at most a tenth of them. And we have rough estimates, only rough estimates, but they have not used a lot of them. Iran has been preparing for this for ages, and those drones are not that expensive. And they can make new ones. It's we're way slower at making interceptors. No, I agree. It wouldn't be enough, Masaigu. But again, like, we're talking about an administration that has admitted they didn't expect Iran to close the strait. I don't know what to expect from them. They're fucking crazy, dog. They're crazy. I have no idea what the fuck this administration's going to do. They didn't know Iran would close the strait. I have no idea. Are they going to nuke Iran? Maybe. Who knows?